A reading from the book of Exodus. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, if I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people, yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own. The word of the Lord.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forevermore.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, to God who is, who was, and who is to come.
Alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. As we look at today's solemnity in the light of the Word of God, hopefully we see a connection in the persons of Moses, Paul, and Jesus. First, in Moses, we know that Moses, as well as Paul and Jesus, of course, had a very intimate relationship with God, especially as Father. And so much so that Moses would say whatever he needed to say to God. He had no inhibitions. He would argue with the Lord. He would question, do all kind of things. And so it happens today's reading is taken from that segment of the book of Exodus where this is not the first time that Moses is ascending Mount Sinai. This is after the debacle, after receiving the tablets the first time, the Decalogue, and he was going down the debacle of the worship of the false, the golden calf. He went down there and in great anger, he threw the tablets down and broke them. But then having ascended back up, he interceded with God. And here we have God coming down in the cloud, standing next to him, revealing his name, because Moses wanted to see God face to face, just as you and I see each other. He wanted to see God face to face. But if that were to happen, Moses would not be able to live. We can't take it all in this condition. So God, in an unintermediated way, comes and has him stand in the cleft of the mountain, and he passes by. He lets Moses look at his back, and as he's passing by, he says his name, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. And as a result of this intimacy with God, this relationship with God, we see that a lot of Moses' mission and work for as this go-between between God and the Hebrew children was one that was characterized by a lot of anguish and struggle. But that didn't change anything for Moses. He embraced it because he came to understand the essence of who God is. And this is why this first reading has been chosen. You may say, well, why are we reading from this passage on the Feast of the Holy Trinity? Because when we come to understand the identity of a person, then we begin to understand how they operate. And here we have it. We are shown in this reading, we're told that God is mercy. God is truth. God is about forgiveness. And probably most especially, he is faithful, particularly when it comes to his covenants. Fidelity to covenant. A covenant is an exchange of persons. And so this is why over and over again, no matter how many times the children of God broke faith and did what they weren't supposed to be doing, over and over again, God sought them out. He never abandoned them. He stayed with them, allowing them to experience the consequences of whatever choices and actions they had committed, brought about. But there was always a reconciliation. And this has been the pattern leading up to the fullness of time, that God would come among us as one like unto us, in appearance, taking upon himself a human nature, so that there could be no question whatsoever. And especially when you consider it in the light of what happened with Abraham and his son, Isaac, when God commanded him to bring him up and offer him. And Abraham was all in, to the point of raising his hand, and he was being said, stop! God now knows how dedicated you are to him. Do no harm to the child. And there was in the thicket, the ram had his hooves caught in there, his horn, and then he pulled that, and that was offered. But Abraham, on the way up the mountain, responds to his son's question, I have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham, God will provide. And he certainly has. He would not withhold his own son, because only God could reconcile us from the offense that was against God in its fullness. And so it's God himself, not a son of God. When you hear the designation a son of God, one like a son of God was you remember when the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar, who is this? I see three, but then there's one like a son of God in there. Even the angels, any one of us who have been created, they are all considered the son of God, a son of God. But when we say in our creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, consubstantial with the Father. He's not created. He's always been a part of the Godhead, the divine Godhead. When we ask, what is God? God is the divine nature. He's the divine one. Who is God? He's the Trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that share in that same divine nature. You ask, who am I? Or you ask me, well, if I ask, what am I? I'm a human being. Who am I? I'm Kyle, Vince, and Dave. See? Somewhat of a way of understanding how is it, and I'm not going to go any further than that because then I get lost. But it's enough for us to know that what God reveals to Moses only is presented in a more definitive way as it draws nearer to that fullness of time and the events that would flow out of Jesus' own revelation of the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. When you hear me, you hear the Father. The Father and I are one. So how is it that we get three out of this? From all eternity, God the Father and the Son are loving one another, to the extent that they give themselves totally to the other. And that giving of the self is the Holy Spirit. And it's like when you and I go and see something fantastic, or we experience something fantastic, what are we desiring to do? You want to tell somebody, you want to share it with somebody, and that's what happens. The Catechism says it beautifully. In the very first paragraph of the prologue, it says this. Under the title, The Life of Man, to Know and Love God. God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. For this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws close to man. He calls man to seek him, to know him, to love him, with all his strength. He calls together all men scattered and divided by sin into the unity of his family, the church. To accomplish this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son as Redeemer and Savior. In his Son and through him, he invites men to become, in the Holy Spirit, his adopted children and thus heirs of his blessed life. So what we are celebrating today is the fact that we have been caught up by God into this mystery of love. And this is where today's gospel comes in. probably the most well-known and popular, especially you'll see it inevitably, a placard is held up in a golf tournament or in a baseball game, in a basketball game, a football. John 3:16, which is how the gospel passage runs today. It was the 16th verse of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's the essence of love. Love is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. It is an action of gifting oneself to another. In everything Jesus communicated to us in his word, and especially his deed and deeds, but I'm speaking of the deed, the laying down of his life confirms for us when he says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I love you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Love one another. And this is so beautiful to understand why now we see in the wake of the solemnity of Pentecost, why the Holy Spirit is so essential to the entire plan of salvation. As the Catechism summarizes it beautifully, that very first paragraph captures everything for us. And from there, we see how it is that the church is who she is and why the mission that she's been entrusted with is non-negotiable. In season and out of season, we are charged to carry this reality to the world. Starting with the world that's most familiar to us, our own homes, our own communities. It's difficult for us as adults to embrace this type of a revelation, because we've all been on both sides of the equation when it comes to relationship, either having been betrayed, a trust has been broken, or having been given a tremendous affirmation of trust by another person. But we've been on both sides of that. And then you live in the context of a very litigious society, the world conditions us to not place any trust, to be always suspicious of whoever you're dealing with. And so you can understand why we struggle with trusting God as a person, which he is. And yet, Jesus was sent precisely because of that reality, and the Holy Spirit continues to be among us to remind us and to confirm us, to strengthen us, to continue to increase the sanctifying grace that we need to put things in proper perspective and to allow what was intended from the beginning to rise up within us. Teenagers are a little bit different. Young adults, very idealistic, and this is a beautiful thing for them to have idealistic ideas and insights and outlook. But as soon as something goes awry, there's a great intent, there's a great teens in their groups, in their little groups that they hang out together. It's very important for them, fair. Things have to be, they look for fairness in things. And when something is broken, when something's not coming across fair, it's a problem. And they're going to let you know it's a problem. Children, they seem like naturals, don't they? Just so beautiful to teach them how to pray. No hesitation. And they're so trusting, so totally in, all into it. They take everything so literally. In fact, last week after the 8 o'clock Mass, "Father, I have to tell you what my son said." Little bitty one, 2 years ago, maybe going on three now. He says, "Mommy, me can't see Jesus. Me can't see Jesus today." And she said, "Father, he was talking about you. He couldn't see because they were in the back and I was blocked from his view. Me can't see Jesus." She said, "You can take that as a compliment." I do take it as a compliment. But more than that, I take it as the reality of what that child truly sees. Because remember, the pure of heart see God. The pure of heart, the innocent are the ones that can see God as he is. So the little ones among us, they haven't committed any personal sin. So when they see the priest, remember when Carver Allen Ames, the Australian visionary, came? He actually has been given the gift of seeing at the Mass. He doesn't see the priest, he sees Jesus. present. The person, the priest is in the person of Jesus. So when those children say that, I have no doubt whatsoever that they actually mean what they say and they're seeing what they say. I don't take any credit. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm not the Lord. I'm one of his unworthy servants. But he is among us. And he has been sent by the Father to draw us into this relationship. So instead of getting worked up about how do we understand 2 and 3 and 3 and 1, 1 and 3, let's simply understand and embrace the attributes of God as they are. Receive him as the one who is merciful, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and faithful in every way to communicate and draw us into this love. So what a beautiful verse of prayer between the Alleluia that we proclaim today, which means praise the Lord. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to God who is, who was, and who is to come. God love you.